Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. This is your host, Chris, and Deep. I'm here. And we are back for Season 7, Episode 2 of Arrow, the Longbow Hunters. Felicity is determined to find Diaz by any means necessary when Diggle tries to keep her on the outs, and Oliver is forced to ally with an old enemy. Look, man, I didn't think they were going to do it, but they really did an entire episode where they had nobody in the Green Arrow suit.
It was really nice. It was really interesting, and I thought that the wrinkle, that was a good wrinkle, because you're right. It's something I didn't know, because I rewatched it this morning just so I could refresh myself. And I was like, wait a second. They talk about him, but he's never in the suit.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the other Green Arrow to show up, mm-hmm. and it's never there. And I'm like, wow, they really just, cause, I mean, and I get it if some people have an issue with that, but to me, it's like, it shows you, you're really seeing how, one, the team is operating, or not operating, if you will, without Oliver, and the real problem is it's like, everybody, if there was one, not issue, but I totally understood it, it was when Diggle basically had that conversation with Felicity, and Felicity was like, yeah, I'm kind of mad at you because you didn't take up for Oliver, you didn't put the suit on, and you didn't go into this, and Diggle has the most real answer ever. After all the shit he went through last season about, you know, getting mad at Oliver, not putting the suit on, and Diggle, you know, Oliver being right again, basically being like, well, you know, you kind of were fucking up and you didn't need it. Diggle basically has the most real answer ever why he didn't do it. It's like, yo, I didn't want to make that sacrifice.
It's like, I couldn't afford it. It cost us too much.
And Felicity's basically like, I'm not even mad at you because you know what? That's a good answer.
They said that. I was like, all right, then.
Because it's true. It's like, after seeing everything, because, like, Diggle's basically like, yo, I watch everything that you, Oliver, and Willem go through. And, man, I don't want them problems for my family. And, like, you can come out and be like, it's cowardly. You can come out and say whatever you want. But that's a man making a decision for his family. Would you kind of be like, yeah. And you got, and it also shows you how, I think what they're doing with right now at the beginning of the season is really showing you what it matters to have. It's that thing where we talk about what it matters to have, why that particular person is in the suit. And what you're seeing here is the sacrifice that Oliver has to make. Like, we've talked about it before, but now you're really seeing it. And that comes from a lot when you have two people in Lila and Diggle who work for fucking Argus going, yeah, no, that sacrifice is too much. I can't do that.
The cost is too high. And another thing I like about this is that it's consistent, and something we'll talk about later, because I really enjoyed the thing with Felicity this episode. But it's so consistent with what we know about the character. I think that's something that they've nailed this early in this latest season, is that all these characters' motivations are understandable. Mm-hmm. They're all relatable, and they all tie back to actions and beliefs and things that we already know about these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Felicity not saying it, and she hasn't said it yet, and when she says it, it'll be a problem, but she doesn't trust them.
Yeah.
She trusts Oliver, and she shouldn't trust them because they've let her down in the past. The only people she trusts, really, like, the smart play is to let Argus handle it. Like, that's the smart play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Felicity's a smart woman, and the smart play is to let them handle it, but guess what? She's lived this life. She's not going to let them handle it because there's two people she trusts, herself and Oliver.
Well, it also comes down to at the end when she basically says that, listen, I get it. You made the smart decision to not let Diaz get the thing, but that's not what I'm here for. That's not, and I realize now that counting on you is not going to get me what I need. So I got to go it myself. And she, you know what? She's right. I mean, it's just like, you know, what I like about this right now is like nobody's really wrong in this episode. Nobody's really wrong. Like, Diggle had to make that decision. He made the mm-hmm. right call. He did what he had to do. He's not there for Diaz. He had to make sure that weapon does not fall into the wrong hands. And that was the smart play. It just was. You don't have to like it, but it was a smart play. And as soon as that director came in and told him that, I was like, that's going to be the thing that separates him and Felicity. You know, and Felicity was like, yo, I get it, but like, they have two different goals that don't necessarily line up all the time.
I think what you're saying is 100% true. Everyone acted in their right. It's just now the writers have put it so that everyone's right is different. And
different perspectives.
And that's kind of one of the highlights of a long-running show, is that we can see everyone's perspective. We can see what the right move is for everyone, but we can also see how some of these right moves are in direct opposition of each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, but, and that's why I love at the end Felicity basically going to was it Agent Watch and at the FBI basically being like, "Yo, you got us into this shit. Now we're gonna take down Diaz because like you said that this is what Oliver sacrificed for, and it's one thing if he's gonna be in prison and he has to do this and he has to make this choice, that's fine. But we're gonna make sure that sacrifice counts. You're gonna bring in Diaz. We're like that was the whole plan. The whole thing was Oliver does all this to keep us all out of." Going to jail, but also to bring Diaz in. And right now, nobody's doing that. So time to hold up your end of the bargain. You know, I'm going to help you bring down Diaz. You're going to help me do this. This is what we're going to do. And again, like what I'm liking so much about this season right now is it really is. And for the first time in all these CW shows, it really is a continuation of the last season. Mm-hmm. Like this is one where, and it's different because this one picked up, like, what, 5 or 6 months? Same thing with Legends. Flash picked up right at the end of last season. So it's kind of a weird thing where, you know, Flash is actually a little bit behind where these seasons are. But this one feels like it's a continuation of where they left. It still feels like a continuation of where they left off at because, like, the issues that they're dealing with are directly affecting them from last season. Like, every now and then you get something, like, here and there. But here, I mean, even when you get the Dinah and Laurel thing, which she's like, yo, you did kill Vincent. You know?
But they do a good job of papering over that. Because she's like, I don't care if you die. I do care if DA dies.
Exactly. And it's like, it's these things here that you're like, you got to deal with. The fact that, you know, we kept bringing up last season that the whole thing with Laurel and Quentin and how that was a big deal. And you're seeing it now that she's still fucked up over that. And it's just, like I said, I love how they've made it so that you really, and we've done this before. I mean, you're still watching after 7 seasons, you care about these characters, but they've really made it so that these characters matter so much that right now, again, this entire episode does not have a Green Arrow in it. You know, we'll talk about the flash forwards in a bit, but you don't get any, you almost get no Arrow play at all, you know?
Renee didn't even get hit, and I'm okay with the episode. Like, this is how good they've been able to pull this off.
Right. So I really love that shit. It's so funny because 2 episodes in a row, I've been looking at this guard going, all right, this guard's dirty. Fuck this guard. Something's going on with him. Did Oliver shoot him by accident one time in the earliest season? I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this guard. And you find out, like, it's nothing. He's actually a good guard. He's actually, like, a good guy. But Oliver's got to get rid of him because he's trying to find out, you know, where Diaz is. And Brick wants the guy gone. And I'm just like, damn, yo. They're already making me care about this guard now. Because now I'm like, I hate this dude. I hated him when he comes in and he's just a smart addict, Alec. And he's talking to Oliver going, and then he hit Oliver with the whole, you know, you think you did the right thing, but you kind of brought all this trouble in the Star City. You kind of made everything worse. And I'm just like,
yeah, him being an asshole is explained by that kind of thing. Like,
right.
They explain why he would be aggrieved. And like, when you lay it out, you're like, can't get him. Like, he's not right, but he's definitely not wrong.
Right. I'm just like, oh, but I was hating this guy. I had a whole backstory. Right. He was on the take. I was like, he's the one that told Diaz, like, he's working for Diaz. Like, I had all this stuff worked out. And they're like, oh, no, he's clean. And I'm just like, fuck. God damn it. And so, yeah, Oliver still had to kind of, you know, find a way to get him out of there. And I'm like, Oliver, yeah. Oliver had to stab himself. I'm like, Oliver, you're fucking... Oliver's going through it, yo. Like, when he gets back in the suit, like, I don't know how we're going to get, like... like, I don't know
what
how
does we... What's he say at the beginning of the episode? They came after my wife and son. I'll do anything to protect them.
Yeah.
I'll do anything to protect them. Like, there's not... Like, that's the thing is that, like, they're going to show us about Oliver, but I think you and I already know is that when he says he'll do anything, he fucking means that shit.
It's not saying it just to say it, yo.
No, this is not hyperbole. This is not like something you cry out over the rooftops to make everyone fear you. No, he said that shit calm as hell because I know that I will do anything to protect them.
Mm-hmm. And I also like the fact that he got a little sidekick in prison, who I don't trust.
Yo, so I was about to say thank you.
I do not trust Stanley. I do not trust Stanley. Because Stanley was trying to go almost get kind of dark on the guard. It was like, I mean, we can go after his family. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He went fast there too, right?
Whoa, he kind of jumped into that. I'm like, whoa, whoa. Can we slow down? Can we think this through?
It's like when you argue with someone and they just hit you with the stuff that really hurts. That's why she left you. Wait, why?
Wow. Why did we jump to that?
Too far. Right. We're talking about LeBron versus Jordan, and you're talking about, like, what do you? How did you get here?
It's
escalation is what it is.
It's escalation way too fast. Like, he went from being this
way
guy.
Way too fast.
Like, he went for this guy, oh, he gets beat up in prison. The other thing, too, is what he was in there for. Like, I didn't do anything. I'm just a finance guy. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Finances is how all this shit worked. They're actually, to tell you the truth, they're the worst people.
You know, you could be the calculator.
Yeah. It's just, something is not.
It's off. It's too easy for him to just be Oliver's sidekick.
Because then when he came, it was like, oh, I'm getting beat up and I almost survive in here. Then all of a sudden, this episode, it's, oh, yeah, man, I was asking around and doing some. Wait. And even Oliver was like, what do you mean? It's like, oh, well, you know, I'm cool with you and everybody's afraid of the Green Arrow. So I'm just like, he's doing too much too fast. And I do think Oliver sees it because it's Oliver. But at the same time, yeah. I'm like, I do not trust Stanley. I do not trust him at all. It's just too convenient. Like, the idea that he got beat up and then he was in the cell next to Oliver. Like, it's all just too clean. So there's something else going on here. And, I do not trust little Stanley.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. We know we've been here too long.
Yeah.
To trust him.
Nah. Mm-mm. And of course, that's going to turn out to be like something like the guard where he's like, he's innocent. Oliver using the broken pencils to like take out the thing, and I'm like, that's some old school Green Arrow shit right there. You know,
mm-hmm. That's the hood.
Yeah, that's the. Well, he's in prison, so he kind of has to go with the vigilante.
Look, hood, it is what it is. So. They put I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
It's not wrong either. Not wrong.
Mm-mm. No, they've created some serious problems by putting him in this jail.
Yeah, it really is, and like I said, I just find this season is risky, and they're taking chances because again, at this point, I don't know how you get Oliver out of there. It doesn't feel like he's getting out anytime soon, you know, and I don't think that there's a rush to do it, and so it's making it meaningful. It's going to make you think that okay, what is Oliver going to have to do? Because now he has to do things with some of his enemies. He's going to be working with Brick. He's working with Bronze Tiger and Samson. It's like he's doing all this stuff. I'm like, whoa, how far is he going to go? Like the whole idea of I'll do anything to protect my family. Well, how far is it? Far? How? What is anything? You know? And so,
right.
I'm really interested in seeing how they do this and how they pull this off. And it's also another thing of like, can the genie ever go back in the bottle? Is everybody going to know that Oliver is the Green Arrow? Now, I guess they could do some weird thing where if there's this other vigilante out there and they're like, well, that vigilante is really the Green Arrow. But it just seems like, I feel like it kind of has to be out there now. Like, Oliver's the Green Arrow, and that's just how it's going to be. And I don't know. I think that's a risky thing that we haven't really seen for something like this. And it adds in a lot of... That's a lot of other factors in here that I think can really make this season and make this show like take it to another level. Because again, it's something we've never seen before. Like, how does Oliver maintain being, you know, Oliver Queen and the Green Arrow at the same time? And what's going to happen with all the vigilante stuff? Because if you throw in the stuff that we've seen, because the other thing too, we've seen some of the future already, right? We've seen this future. Because again, if we go back to Legend of Tomorrow. And Zari, remember, like, her timeline was kind of, is this timeline? Mm-hmm. Is it one where, like, the anti-vigilante law was in effect? Because when the Legends showed up, they were like, they were like, oh, you guys are violating the anti-vigilante law. So,
right.
My thing is, like, what happens, does anything, like, something big has to either change that, or the genie never goes back in the bottle, and it always stays this way. So, I think that, you know... We've seen a lot of clues from other shows about where this goes. And now I kind of want to go back, almost go back to see some of those episodes from Legends, because I think Legends has given us some idea of where we're at here. Because, yeah, I mean,
that's a really good point I hadn't thought about, because you're right. Like, while, you know, it's Arrow and it's a show and it's kind of followed certain strictures, we're also deep into the series where they can kind of, they can bake their own rules at this point. It doesn't have to have a happy ending. And based on what we've seen from the upcoming timeline, it doesn't.
Right. I mean, we've gotten so many things. So the Zari timeline, there's a first one from, what was it, Star City 2047 or whatever the episode of a legend of Legends was, where Oliver was missing an arm and Diggle's son was the Green Arrow at the time. Smoke Industries, then you have the thing in this season with the flash forwards, where you have Roy and Willem on the island. First of all, smooth move making Willem gay. They threw that in there so smoovely.
But that's how CW's done it with these shows, man. It's never like, here's the so-and-so gay character. It's always just like, yo, by the way.
I just, like, we bring this up every time. And we were just talking about it. And what gets me about it is, like, this is a week, again, you have your first transgender superhero or villain, whatever, on Supergirl. You have the whole Sarah Lance thing. And then you had Gary and Constantine this week, and now you have this with Willem, where the way CW does it, I really think they should get more recognition for. Like,
it's how you want it handled. You don't want a character turned into a trope who's just defined by this one thing, but you also want to acknowledge that it's an important part of who they are. And I think that you know, coming from where from our lenses, it seems that they found a good way to do it.
Yeah, and again, not to say that they haven't made mistakes in the past, and they don't make mistakes. But I think that, again, with the CW, is one of those things where, you know, it's like it's the thing we always give Marvel Studios, like, they'll hear some complaints, and they're like, you know what, we need to do better. They'll come in, they'll make the adjustment, and they'll do better. And that's what I see with this. Like I said, it was so smooth that it stood out to me. Like, the fact that they don't. And again, I wish so many more networks and studios and whatever, anybody making some kind of thing, would do it this way, because it's so much more impactful when you don't try to make an impact like this. Like I said, it was just simple conversation. We're talking when Willem was talking about his boyfriend, and his boyfriend broke up with him. And I'm like, wait, he's
commitment issues. Yeah, yeah.
And again, it's like, if you weren't paying attention, you would have missed it. And it's just, but it matters, because it shows you that these characters have lives, that they do things. It's the whole thing with we were noticing Curtis flirting with the cop, you know, and what was going on with that. Like, these little things here. The whole thing with Gary and Constantine and Ava and Sarah. It's like, these things are so fucking small, but they matter, because you see that, you know, there's something that, and the CW has made a commitment to this. Like, these shows, and I really think that they should get credit for this. They've clearly made an impact for this, and it's not just here. Like, you see them in there, like, they've been running these little promos for all their shows about inclusion and diversity and things like that. Like, it really fucking matters, and I really think that. I mean, as much as we joke the CW, and the CW has been joked about, it's just CW shows, and, you know, I'm not going to mention the show that always gets mentioned and things like that. But, like, there really should be some kind of recognition for what they're doing here, because it matters. It's, you know, even the idea of, you know, bringing black women in the show, what they've, like, what they're doing with Agent Watson, like, honestly, as long as they don't kill her, this is basically almost like a reset of what they were what they tried to do with, Waller, you know, where they had killed her off, you know, and here you have Agent Watson, who, you know, they could actually, and especially if she brings in Felicity and some more of the team. I mean, we've seen the thing. We know at least Renee gets an FBI jacket, because, you know, we see it in the sizzle reel. So it's like, there's something you're doing there with you have a black woman on the show who's going to be a kind of a regular character on the show that has some kind of position of power and is doing something. It's like, I don't know. That really stood out to me, and it's been standing out to me this season with all these characters across all their shows. It used to be that it was like a show here or there, but it seems right now they've done it across their shows. They've doubled down on this diversity and inclusion stuff across the board, whether it's not just female care. I mean, because we forgot the Longbow Hunters. Like, one of them was a black woman who had that little sonic disruptor thing.
That's a new character that just got introduced in DC Comics, the Silencer. And it's also telling that the new showrunner on Arrow is a woman.
Like, yeah.
This is in front of the camera and behind the camera. It's been kind of not a paradigm shift, but kind of a paradigm crystallization, maybe. Like, maybe they finally put into words what they've always kind of worked towards, mm-hmm. but now they've made it a tangible goal.
Yeah, and I mean, I think because if you look at this season of Arrow so far, it's like the female characters are getting a lot of like things to do. I mean, Dinah is the captain of the police department. Earth to Laurel, she's gonna call her Laurel. Laurel is now, you know, the DA, and they had Laurel and Dinah team up, and we get double Canary Cry. Look,
yo, still the best fight scenes on television.
Listen, look, I'm not gonna mention the show on DC's own streaming, but they need to holler at Arrow.
Hold yourself back there, buddy.
They need to holler at Arrow.
Good restraint,
I'm
I guess.
Trying to restrain. All right, I'm trying to be restrained.
All
right. I'm trying. I'm improving. All right, I didn't mention I didn't mention the other show on CW. All right, I'm doing better.
Wow.
This is me. All right, but no, I mean, you said best fights on the show. I like, this is amazing. This is a CW show, and you get. You know, first of all, Laurel taking on this other character in Hand to Hand Comic because her Canary Cry didn't work. And then when Dinah shows up and it still didn't work, they're like, "Well, two canaries is better than one."
Yeah,
and you see it, like, you see that force field like disintegrate. I'm like, this is actually kind of cool. Like, I'm like, the Longbow Hunters are going to be a fucking problem.
Okay, so I'm going to need I need someone before all this gets too deep into it to explain to me how their name is the Longbow Hunters.
I don't know. I'm waiting for them
it
to
feels
kind of
a little on the nose, and no one's holding a bow.
Yeah, I need to know what that is too. I don't know why they're that, but they are terrifying.
You know what? I bet it's going to tie back to the island.
It's either going to tie back to the island or the league. Because weren't they first mentioned about the league or something like that? I
honestly don't remember.
I can't remember when they were first mentioned last season.
I feel weird trying to guess.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm really intrigued by them, and they're fucking terrifying, especially black woman with the silencer, because it's like, yeah, yo, because you hit, like, she activates that thing and everything turns silent, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? Like, the idea of her fighting Laurel right next to, and she was in the next room next to Dinah, and Dinah didn't hear shit, and yeah, that's terrifying. So yeah,
it's a cool power. I think the way they've illustrated it so far, at least, as long as they can stay consistent with it, it makes it super interesting, especially visually on this show.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I'm really excited. You know, this is like, again, so we were saying this with The Flash. You know, their main villain is kind of terrifying. Here we have the Longbow Hunters, which are honestly, you know, they're way more terrifying than Diaz, who showed with a fucking flamethrower, which. Okay, Diaz with the flamethrower, that's just unfair.
Well, I think that's the cool part about this continuing from last season is that, like, Diaz, they've had a good time to build the threat of Diaz, and him and the Longbow Hunters have instant cred because he calls them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't have to build up him to wait for him to build up them. It's all of a sudden he's got this built-in equity of he fucked up Oliver last season, and now the Longbow Hunters being operatives that he's called in to finish the job makes it even more, like, it puts it on the nose just how terrifying it is, or at least it should be.
And just like as a kid, we don't know what he wants. We know what Diaz wants, but I don't know what they want. Are they just mercenaries that he hired? But, like, where did he get the money? Like, there's so many questions I have now about how this works. Cause, I mean, he did say he was bringing them in last season, but, like, why are they still here? Like, I don't know. So, what do they want now? Because Oliver's in jail, you know?
Yeah.
What is their end goal? So, let's see what I had this. All right. So let's talk about this future stuff. So,
can I just say bravo to them because they found a way to make the future stuff compelling on two ends. I'm compelled by the stuff that they're uncovering on the island. And I'm compelled as how the fuck we got here. Bravo. Like it caught me this episode that I was like, oh shit, where does that transponder lead? And I was like, oh shit. Like, I'm interested in not just, like, how this bridging that gap, but I'm interested in what they were unveiling on the island. Like, this is, they did a really good trick here. It's better than the last couple seasons of the flashbacks.
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. They've now managed to, because Wilm brought up something, Wilm brought up something that I was thinking, too. It was like, hey, so, Roy, what about you and Felicity? Last time we saw you, you were leaving to go with Thea. And Roy basically was like, I don't want to talk about the past. I'm like, what?
It was mutual of epic heartbreaks.
Yeah, right. Like
real big heartbreaks. I'm here to talk about the past. It was a mutual thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe it was mutual, or it was worse than that. Something happened. Because it's like, why would he all of a sudden come back to the island?
If something happened, he wouldn't be the one who walked out alive.
That's true.
If Thea and he threw down, it's Thea on the island.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that he threw down with Thea. I'm thinking something came after them. Because remember, wasn't she going to, she was going to track down something. She wasn't just leaving. She was going to track down, I think she thought her father, remember, she had the map. She thought her father might still, she thought, Merlin was still around or something like that. Like, there was something
she left her a map. Yeah, you're right.
He left her a map. So, man, it's like,
I mean, we're going to get this, and they're going to bridge that gap for us. But all I was like, well, Roy lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
Roy lost.
Yeah,
he's driven to the island.
Yeah, he's not doing flips no more, so.
See,
I'm just, you know, throwing it out there. So, but yeah, now I'm very intrigued. Like, because that was a new bow, so I'm assuming Oliver left that stuff for Wilm to take over for him when he was gone.
I don't think that's that, because Wilm was like, you know, I can't shoot no arrows. Like, we've been through this shit. Like, I don't do this.
But I think
maybe it's a message, or like you saw Roy burn the letter, burn the note.
But if Oliver knew that Roy was on the island, and the note is to train Wilm to do that, and that's why Roy burned the note. Like I said, but then it comes back to is the Green Arrow in the current timeline? This win.
Well, for the future, I see what you're saying.
You know, I don't know. I'm very intrigued.
Like I said, they've done a very good job of building this a two-sided mystery.
It's a very intriguing thing. And then again, when you then add in the stuff that we've seen from this future from Legends, it's really intriguing. And so I'm really into this. I can't wait. I'm down. I like what they're doing here. It's different, and I think that's something that it's different and it's compelling, because sometimes you do different. They've done different before on the show, and it hasn't been as compelling. This is different and it's compelling stuff, and it works. And I think it's because they have, you know, 7 years of being with these characters, and so we can.
Well, it's also because the different isn't rooted in here's magic now, or here's a new assassin. It's rooted in here's a different take. Here's a different approach to these characters. These characters you know and you love. We're gonna put them in different situations and make them react differently, and that's the different, that's the breath of fresh air that we're getting, but it's still rooted in the show that we love and characters and relationships that we care about, even if it's Renee's bitch ass. But he's the only one who stuck up for New Green Arrow this episode. I noticed that.
They're making me like Garnet again. Like, it's,
I'm not going to like him. I'm not going to forgive him. I acknowledge the movement.
What is the thing with ours? Because it was Ralph on you know, we're turning into Ralph Hive on the we're getting a Ralph Hive
island
going.
Nod. Everyone gets off our island. We defended Ralph for a season. No, everyone who's liking Ralph now, all right, just do it in your own time. Don't do it on our time.
You're getting a fucking
Ralph Island MTR network.
and now you got fucking Renee over here trying to Renee.
The Renee shit will never occur.
He's always a snitch. I mean, you can't. It's like, what's the snitch?
He is a snitch. Okay, let's just move on before
he's like, he's always a snitch. He's like, never gonna. Like, he's doing the best he can.
He can't unsnitch. He can't unsnitch. Like,
he can't unring.
You said it earlier. Like, you can't ring the bell. Let's say all he does get out in the season, he can't become the Green Arrow again because everyone fucking knows.
You know, the worst thing about it is, like, so we know Renee joins the FBI or works with the FBI with this. So Renee snitches on Oliver and then joins the team he snitched with him on.
Renee is the kingpin.
Oh, God. No, he's not the kingpin, because I love the memes going around with the kingpin right now. and the whole thing about how he just turned everything
to record. We've got to record a review.
Yeah, we do. We really do need to do that. We're going to do one. That'll be but yeah, I was just like, everything turns into the longest fucking like monologue for the Kingpin when you break up something. When I was a boy, just like,
God, dude. Nigga, mustard or no mustard? What? Right? Why are you soliloquy?
I just asked paper or plastic. That's all I wanted to know. That's all.
I brought my own bag.
What the hell? What is going on here? Anyway, anything else with this episode?
Nah, man. I captured something here, man. They got their hand on something really special. I think in the season, it's like I said, the two ended mysteries of the flash forwards. The kind of like, yeah, I guess last season ended fine because everyone lived, but they lost.
Yeah, they did.
Ollie went to fucking jail. Ollie's currently in jail and trying to survive while Cody Rhodes is over here making him do frame guards. Like, This is not a good time to be a member of the Arrow team. And that's what makes it so compelling, because they're taking these characters that we know and who are defined for us, who have these rigid edges, and they're pushing at the edges. You're seeing how far you're going to push it. Because we can say that, oh, Dinah and Laurel worked together. That was cool. Dinah worked with the woman who killed the man she loved.
Right. And Laurel, like, and you're seeing Laurel.
There's a consistent tension that's never going to leave their relationship.
And as Laurel said, she's trying to prove that she's not that person anymore. But how do you prove you're not that person when you did that? And again, like, even when she came and Dinah came out, was like, you're going to kill Diaz. So how do you, you know, that's the same person, the same Laurel she is. And like, she's trying to show us like, well, no, I love Quentin. I'm trying to get the men to, you know, she didn't say it, but I think she kind of was implying it's like, you know what it's like to really hate a person that killed somebody you loved? Because that's me.
You know how you hate me? That's how I hate him.
That's right. So, there is that. So, all right. So, I did get an email. Khalees sent this email into us because we were talking about this. And I thought it was really, really interesting. It says, hey, Chris. This is from The Flash. Hey, Chris, the environmental criminal from this week's episode was in last season. He was stopped by the elongated man before. He's maybe running a running gag about Disney's heroics. Here's the first encounter from last season. So, yeah, he was in the first season of in the last season of The Flash.
That's even better.
That'd be great. If he becomes like, if he slowly becomes like Dibney's kite man.
No, he's going to become Dibney's shocker from Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ah, true. Yes.
You should live every 20 issues and just get slapped around.
That would be great. You know what? You know, when Shocker finally gets him, he's like, yo, you're a kid. You're a kid. You cost me how much money? It's like, not a joke anymore, am I? Like, that shit was hilarious. Oh, my God. Like, we're going to... So, that leads me to a good segue into this. We were supposed to be recording the second part of Ultimate Spider-Man. I also realized that there's a lot of fucking issues. So, we are going to delay that character corner. I'm sorry. We're only getting one character corner in this month. But here, we're going to list the character corners out for the rest of the year. We're going to do the second part of Ultimate Spider-Man, which we'll be recording that soon. Because, like I said, we're pretty much done. And then we're going to do Doom Patrol, since the upcoming episode of Titans is Doom Patrol, and they're actually doing a Doom Patrol show. We're going to do the Doom Patrol, and then we're going to do like a two-parter on Aquaman. So those are going to be the last character corners of 2018. They'll be coming out over the next couple months, so just stay tuned. We'll be getting those out for that. Also, this week, Mailbag. Mailbag will be recording on Wednesday. So please, 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 if you have emails, please email us before Wednesday, Tuesday night.
Please.
Tuesday night at the latest Monday morning. I mean, Wednesday morning. All right. We'd like to put everything together and get that together. So we'll be doing that. Again, if you have comments about the shows we're watching, reviewing, comic books, or any of the movie news coming up, should have shoot us an email, mailbag@mtrnetwork.net. Also, check out our TeePublic store, teepublic.com/store/mtr-network. I'm starting to put added other shirts. Some of the shirts are not, you know, MTR Network shirts, but other shirts into the store. So it'll be a good way to find other shirts I know you guys would love to purchase. So yeah, and the Stitcher Premium is still, I believe, the promotion is still going on. So if you want a free month of Stitcher Premium, you can listen to Wolverine: The Long Night. Put the code in Tuesday and you will get a free month of Stitcher Premium, which means you're listening to Stitcher with no ads and none of those inserted ads. You can listen to all their stuff. And you can also listen to Wolverine: The Long Night the entirety, in its entirety, without waiting for it to come out week by week. So that's all we got right now. Just stay tuned, and we will be back on Wednesday with more reviews. So again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening to this review of Arrow Season 7, Episode 2. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.